This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Lots to get to. We've got NBA play-in games getting underway today. The NFL draft countdown continues. Lots of discussion today about team-specific draft needs, and I've got some draft bets in the account as of this morning. Welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Yes, Michael, it's true. Today I was firing.
Oh, wow. I cannot wait to hear this. As Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. I love it, Stormy. You're not going to let this can't be a cliffhanger. I can't. This
it's,
can't be
it's
like
gotta
Dallas
be,
and
Michael.
I'm going to wait to see if JR's alive or not.
Really? We've got to keep the audience on the edge for a little bit here before we start our draft discussion, because given everything that's going on in basketball right now, I feel like that's where we need to get underway. We've got two play-in games today. Caitlin Clark did ultimately go number one overall in the WNBA draft yesterday. Shocker, shocker, I'm sure. And we have an announcement that's not quite an announcement as it pertains to the Olympics. So let's start with the games coming up today. Which one intrigues you more in the Western Conference?
Well, obviously, you know, the Lakers and the Pelicans, Zion Williamson, I want to see how he does, what he plays. Are the Lakers going to take it seriously? As we were talking off air, there is some contention that maybe they would be better off losing this and avoiding the Nuggets in the first round. Hey, if you're the Lakers, and, you know, for me, my attitude is you got to beat somebody. I mean, eventually you can't run and hide to get to the finals. Now, I know seeding's important, but if it was that important, maybe, you know, you would have moved up during the regular season. So I think that's going to be a fascinating game. I really do. I'm excited to see that one, to see how it goes and where this all kind of leads itself to. And then, of course, naturally, the nightcap where the Warriors. I mean, is this the end? If the Warriors don't beat the Kings on the road in Sacramento, is this the end of the Warriors? Yeah. Are they going to have to kind of do some incredible things? I think it for them and the 76ers, they're at that crossroad, right? Where do we go from here? If Philly loses to Miami and becomes the A seed, or if they don't even get in, what do they do? And the same thing at Golden State if they don't beat Sacramento tonight.
So let's go back to this part of it, as you referenced, with the Lakers potentially like not trying to win tonight, because the line is a little bit fishy here. We just saw this Lakers team blow out the Pelicans the last day of the regular season. I saw Shams Charania this morning saying that Anthony Davis, despite dealing with a little bit of a back issue at the end of that game, there isn't a scenario in his mind with which he does not anticipate Anthony Davis playing. So if you have a healthy Anthony Davis and LeBron James playing in this game, all of the matchups tell you, especially given how well the Lakers have played lately, that this is the Lakers game to lose, yet they're getting 1.5 points here against the Pels. I think that argument of them not trying to win this game is ridiculous just to avoid the Nuggets. Like, I understand that the last 8 times they played the Nuggets, they lost those games. So maybe that's not an opponent you want to play. But is there a better time to play Denver, honestly, than early in the postseason? Like last year in the playoffs, we saw how they just got stronger as they went along, whereas the Lakers started to die out because of their aging stars and health concerns with those guys. Like, wouldn't you rather be like, we're healthy, you guys might be slow starting? If there was a time to play Denver, I feel like I would prefer it early than late.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think when you break the game down, I mean, look, they were able to dominate the Pelicans in the regular season 4 games to 1, right? And so, like, when you see that, you say, well, okay, why are they, you know, why are they not favorite? I mean, just April 14th, they won 124-108 in New Orleans, right? And so, like, what's going on here? Like, to me, there's something fishy here. And I know it's hard to draw a conclusion A to B to C, but there's something here that makes me believe, like, why are the Pelicans favored when they just lost to this team by 16 points not even two weeks ago?
Yeah, the only reason to me is because bettors must expect or anticipate that the Lakers are willing to lose this game so that they don't have to play Denver. And I will give you some of those numbers, because the last 8 times the Lakers played the Nuggets, 0 wins. 4 of the 8 were double-digit losses. Of course, 4 in the Western Conference final sweep last year. Meanwhile, against Oklahoma City, the Lakers have had a lot of success this season. They played each other 4 times this year. Lakers won 3. You think about LeBron and AD taking on the youngest one seed that we've had since seeding. I get that from like a just general understanding standpoint. But I don't understand why you would want to put yourself back against the wall in a potential one and done knockout scenario against what's most likely going to be Golden State and Steph Curry. Like, I know that this isn't the Golden State of old, but I don't want to put my hand, like a one game opportunity. You lose that game, you don't even get to be in the playoffs at all. Like, I just don't understand that. Like, from a competitive standpoint, yeah, Michael, how do you view that?
Well, why would you want to play one more game anyway?
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to play one more game? I mean, I don't think that's really something you want to do. I know it's home, but why do you want to play one more game before you have to then? Now you're on a shorter week when you go play your next opponent if you win that game. So, like, I think one thing that you gain in the playoffs is you gain that predetermined rest, mm-hmm. whether it's a complete day off or it's 2 days off as you go through this thing. So I'm with you. There's something fishy about this. And look, you know, can the Pelicans raise their level of play? We'll see. They won 49 games in the regular season. But, I mean, to me, with the Lakers, with Anthony Davis and LeBron, I think still when you have those two players, you should be able to win this game if you want to win it and you're playing it seriously.
I took the 1.5, so I'm hoping that they take it seriously. Do you have any feel for the second game of the evening in Warriors Kings? Do you feel like it's Golden State's to lose?
Well, I mean, look, they have the last two games have been decided by 1 point each game, right? 134 to 133 when they played them in January and November. Earlier in the season, it was 124 to 123, you know, and then it was 102 to 101. I mean, all these games have been fairly close. I mean, the last time they played it hasn't been as close, but I think to me, all these things have to come in order for the Warriors. Are they going to get their team to kind of focus? Where's Draymond going to be? How's he going to play? Monk, obviously, that injury affects mm-hmm. them. So I just believe this is going to be one that the Warriors, I think there's a lot of pressure on them to win. And, you know, Curry in these situations are really, you know, what, he scored 50 against them in game 7, you know, to the last time they played in one of these elimination games?
Warriors, a 2.5-point favorite, total 223.5. I do feel like Golden State wins this game. I don't know about that 2.5, to your point, how close some of these games have been in the series recently. We also got some news today in the Eastern Conference, Michael, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, that Giannis will not be able to start that first game in the first round series against the Indiana Pacers. Their hopeful treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. Listen to how these numbers have shifted, though, Michael. In the series now, the Bucks opened a -350 favorite. This time yesterday, they were bet down to -245. Now -135. The Pacers go from +265 it opened to +110 in the series. So without Giannis, it looks like a lot of people are believing that the Bucks could be on upset watch here in round one.
Well, I mean, look, the last 36 games are 17-19 with Doc. I mean, he's two games below 500. And, you know, Giannis has missed some of those games, but not all of them. I mean, they've not been able to correct their defense. They've not been able to get into a flow. And whether they're listening to Doc or not, you know, Doc, we know when it comes time to enter in the arena called the playoffs, is Doc hasn't exactly been a stellar coach in this area. So there's a lot against them. I mean, that's why I think Philadelphia, you want to play Milwaukee, especially in light of the fact that, you know, if you're the seventh seed and you become the seventh seed and you get Milwaukee, you got a chance, right? I mean, they're not healthy. That's why I think this game is so important for them.
Yeah, the Bucks have dropped 8 of their last 11 games. They fall from the 2 seed to the 3. And Giannis was, by the way, only injured for the last 3 of those. So he was on the court in the bulk of those losses as well. You talk about Doc not panning out with them having a sub-500 record with him as their coach. Like, initially, we saw a little bit of a shift where the defense was playing better, but then that went away and regressed yet again, and the offense has taken a step back. Like, the fact that they bring in Damian Lillard and they bring in Doc Rivers midseason and they've gotten worse, like, that's scary to me if you're Milwaukee. What could that mean this offseason for the Bucks?
Well, I think it's going to be obviously they just gave Doc a new contract, and I was mistaken that the 76ers could play the Knicks. I was thinking they were second, but they end up losing that last game of the season. So But either way, the Knicks or Milwaukee, both of those teams are wounded. I mean, without Julius Randle, the Knicks aren't the same team. The Sixers match up well against them. Same thing with Milwaukee without Giannis. But I agree. I mean, what do you do when you make that move to change a coach and the players motivate you to do that? What's next? I think what's next if they don't go further is how do they get away from the Dame contract? I think that's going to be the key issue everybody's going to talk about because they upset the team. They kind of changed the team. Remember, they were never really – did we ever think they were going to get Dame until they got Dame?
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of one of those things that flew behind the curtain a little bit there. So did I. So, you know, and it just hasn't, it hasn't seemed like it's worked. There's been no flow or continuity. And with Doc, it's gotten worse.
Do you think that this injury with Giannis will absolve Doc, I guess, if they end up losing in the first round, that like the confidence in him will not go anywhere, that it's, oh, well, our best player was injured?
I think Doc always has in his sleeve a way to be absolved. So you could never underestimate Doc's ability to be absolved. Doc is an absolutist. He can get absolved from anything. I mean, it's amazing how good he is at doing that. So, yeah, I'm sure of it. Look, I didn't have a chance to coach the team. I'm trying to adjust on the fly. It wasn't my default. He's got a box load of being able to absolve himself. There's no question.
Like, I didn't get the full year. We didn't get to start at training camp because I was on the ABC broadcast. You guys had great, like, all the things. Just add the different layers to
it. Even though I was hired as a consultant, I'm trying to help you out, right? Yep. You know, but let's not forget that.
Exactly. The Bucks are getting 1 point in that initial game in the series with the Pacers, total 233.5. Still to come this hour, plenty of NFL draft talk. We're going to have Mike Pritchard back on for the first time in a while, and in hour two, Will Hill's going to join us in studio, our boy in Vegas. Lots more to come. We're just getting started on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't yet, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. All that same great content you're used to, but with a fresh new look, making it easier for you to access that content. You get best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts, experts, and guests, betting splits, exclusive articles, including our regular column from our own Michael Lombardi, and lots of great stuff on the website right now, whether it is daily MLB betting tips, how to bet these NBA play-ins series as well from Zach Cohen and our guy JVT. Plus, if you're looking to bet the draft, like we are here on the Lombardi Line, all that coverage as well at VSiN.com. Speaking of the draft, let's get into it a little bit. As every day leading up to next Thursday's draft, we're going to continue to preview each division and what those teams' needs are specifically as it pertains to the first round and the draft as a whole. Yesterday, we did the AFC East. We're sticking in the AFC, but looking at the North this time around, Michael. And let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals, who have the number 18 pick in the draft. They have 10 picks overall this year. And I'm sure you would agree protecting quarterback Joe Burrow, given the injury history he has had coming off of a season-ending injury. Offensive line should be a priority.
Right. And, you know, and they've signed Trent Brown to be the right tackle. They did not pay him a lot of money, $4.25 million. And, you know, they got Orlando Brown over at left tackle. So I think they feel like, okay, if a lineman comes, certainly that's going to be a good thing. But I also think if they can get another pass rusher to go along, remember when Hendrickson got hurt last year, their defense wasn't the same. I think they've had a really good offseason, Stormy. And I think because of this offseason that they've had, they don't have to really force a pick anywhere here because they have the ability to get the one of the better players. Could they pick a receiver? Yeah, I think they could easily do that, knowing that T. Higgins is going to be a free agent. They're not going to franchise him another year. They get a young, cheap player to go along when they do the contract for Ja'Marr Chase. So I think there's a lot of ways Cincinnati can go. And I don't think they're dictated by their depth chart because I think when you look at them, they fit the profile of what you want to do as a team. You want to be able to go in the draft with the ability to play a game without any of these draft picks. And that's what the Bengals can do. They can go function and play a game.
That's really interesting, Michael, because you look at the odds for the position of the first drafted player for the Cincinnati Bengals, and offensive line is a $2 favorite, right? But you mentioned edge, wide receiver, plus 350 for a defensive lineman, plus 550 for a wideout. Like, if they're in a position at 18 to just take best player available at one of those positions, you could get some value on the board if you think maybe it ends up not being an offensive lineman.
Right. I mean, you know, they could take a three technique. I mean, DJ Reader was a really good player. Now, they replaced him with Sheldon Rankins, but, you know, they could still use a defensive tackle inside. I mean, so I think they have a lot of ways to go. And knowing Mike Brown and how Mike Brown thinks about the draft and involving the coaches with Duke Tobin as his general manager, I think certainly their roster is complete. They got Zach Moss to replace Joe Mixon. They got Geno Smith. They signed Geno Smith and Von Bell to help those two young safeties. This is a good team. Now, they're counting on Trent Brown to be a good player at right tackle. So they may just feel like, okay, we need to get a right tackle if there's one there. Mm-hmm. But if Brian Murphy makes it to them as a three technique, you could see them picking him easily. Or if a receiver that they've thought could be a really good player, I think they can go in any direction. I mean, if Blake Bowers makes it to him at 18, you could see him pick a tight end.
Cincinnati plus 165 in what we expect to be a very competitive division, win total 10.5. But with Joe Burrow coming back healthy, the expectation is that they'll be back in a top position in the division. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers there at pick 20? So we talk about this division and what teams are doing well, what teams are not. With the Steelers, they, it feels like, addressed a lot of their needs in the offseason, specifically at quarterback. They move on from Kenny Pickett, bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in their early, you know, waves of free agency, probably with the exception of center and offensive tackle. They did a lot of other things that you would want them to do. So with that, in terms of the odds, minus 330 to go offensive lineman with that first round pick. Do you agree with that?
You know, I do. I think that's the one area where they haven't been able to address. Now, last year they picked Jones in the first round. Remember, they traded up to get him, to get ahead of the Jets to pick him. So I could see them coming back and take it. And that's where the strength of this draft is going to be in the 20s, is going to be those offensive linemen. And you could see them doing that. There's no question. But I think when you look at Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's usually a team need draft type. They're going to fill a hole with their draft. They need a running back. They pick Najee Harris. They need a corner. They're going to pick the corner. I could see them picking a corner here, too. I mean, I think there's so many ways they can go. And I think ultimately what they would like to do is get that offensive line to the level that it can really play well. Now, they've got good young receivers. Remember, they signed Cordell Patterson to be that kind of quasi different guy in there. So they've got like a little bit of a receiver running back. So I could see them going a lot of different directions. Remember, they traded Dante. They acquired Dante Jackson, the corner from Carolina, for Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of ways they could go here, and picking 20 offensive linemen makes sense, but also, you know, the corner could make sense as well.
Yeah, I think offensive line and corner would make sense more than receiver, just because Tomlin did say that Pittsburgh might want to wait until day two for that position specifically. And we've talked a lot about how you can get talented wide receivers elsewhere outside of the first round, no matter how much we want to draft 10 of them, no matter how much we want to, Michael. But no, that's interesting. And I thought that price was really high on offensive line, but I think that you can understand why, given the position that they're in. How about Baltimore? Another position where offensive line is favored to be the first selection for the Ravens here. Do you think that they have more options, or does it need to be O-line?
Well, I think everything the Ravens have done have predicated itself on being into this year's team, right? I mean, every move they make, they kind of anticipated they were going to lose those players. And so they have a lot of young offensive linemen that they're counting on. And one thing about the Ravens, I think the Ravens are all about making sure they have their horizontal board and their vertical board completely aligned. They will take the best player. And because of that, I think they can go in 1,000 different directions. I mean, they want to get a good player, as most teams do. And I don't think they're a prisoner to, whereas when you look at their depth chart, you say, well, they lose Patrick Queen. Okay, well, they drafted someone in the third round last year. They lose an offensive lineman. Well, they drafted a fourth rounder 2 years ago. So, like, they have players that the fans don't know about. And this is where you kind of get a little messed up on the draft, because you're kind of anticipating, well, they don't have a guy. They're going to pick this guy. When in reality, they have young players they're counting on. I mean, this team suffered tremendous losses. So, I mean, when you go through it all from Gus Edwards all the way down to Clowney, I mean, they've lost a lot of different guys. I could see them going with an edge guy to replace Clowney. They signed Van Noy back. But I could also see them going with anybody defensively to help them.
Minus 230, again, the favorite for the first player selected for the Ravens. D-line edge, plus 300. Corner, plus 550. And wide receiver, 7-1. And regardless of who they lost, this is a Ravens team that's still going to have very, very high expectations coming into this year after what they did last year, being the one seed in the AFC. So they're among the favorites yet again. Their win total set at 11.5, a plus 115 favorite in the division. And let's round out the division with the Cleveland Browns, who own only 5 picks in this year's draft, just 2 in the first 150 because they dealt their first and fourth round picks this year as part of the Deshaun Watson trade. Their first selection comes in the second at number 54 overall. They then pick at 85 with their third rounder and not again until round 5. What are the Browns' most immediate needs?
Well, I think when you look at the Browns, they got to be a little bit worried about Chubb's knee. They lowered his salary, right? Now they signed Nyheim Hines. They also signed Foreman to give them some depth at running back. So you think they feel like they're good there. I think knowing Jim Schwartz, he's going to try to take the best defensive tackle he can get his hands on. Both the tackles are over 30. Tomlinson and Harris are both over 30, along with Quentin Jefferson, who they signed from the Jets, over 30. So I could see him taking a defensive tackle. But when you're picking where they are in the draft, I think you have to be open to taking whatever position comes to you. Your highest rated player on the board. You know, they've always wanted to kind of improve the receiver position. They did with Judy. They were able to sign him to go along with Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper. You know, last year they were using the depth of that offensive line to certain levels. I mean, they lose both tackles, you know, and Hudson comes in and plays well, and DeJuan Jones comes in and plays well. So they've got depth in the offensive line. I think defensive line depth is where they would go.
They're the longest shot in the division, Michael. How concerned would you be if you are a Browns fan or a Browns backer, just knowing that Deshaun Watson is coming back off of injury and he wasn't great before the injury, and you also have, who you mentioned, Nick Chubb coming off a severe injury?
Well, I would be concerned, but I think to me, if they can get the defense to play better on the road than it as it did at home, there's a huge get. They signed Jordan Hicks, who played with Schwartz before, so they know him at linebacker, right? They've got a lot of good players. They need somebody. They signed Za'Darius Smith back to go along with Myles Garrett to give him somebody on the other side. But they're long in the tooth in the defensive front. They have 4 guys over 30 years old. That works in September. It sometimes doesn't work in January, where you need those guys to play at a high level. I think, to me, that's what you could see them doing, trying to replenish that defensive front, because that's the key to the defense that Schwartz runs. They've got to do that. Look, they're going to be able to run the football. I think there's no question about that. I think they can do that, whether it's Chubb or whether it's Foreman, who we've seen Foreman run really well when he was at Carolina. And at times he ran well at Tennessee. So a lot of the things with Foreman you could see. I think ultimately at the end of the day, they got to make sure that defensive line's at a high level.
Their win total, 8.5. Slight juice to the over at minus 130. Every single team in this division is favored to be over 500 in 2024. That speaks to the competitiveness we expect. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, VSiN's own Mike Pritchard joins us live on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back here on VSiN. Remember, for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This is a limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Rolling along here on the Lombardi Line alongside of Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And Alexa, play Reunited 1978. Reunited, and it feels so good as we welcome in VSiN's own Mike Pritchard, great friend of the show. We have missed you, buddy. It's been a long time since you've been on. VSiN host, former NFL wide receiver. What's going on, my guy?
Oh, it's been a minute. Stormy, Michael, great to be with you. By the way, I think my first dance with the girl was to Reunited.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, great. Thank you for that.
Love it. I love
it.
Mike, how much of the now we know there'll be 25 receivers picked in the first round, and all of them are number one receivers. There's no doubt in my mind about that, right? So there has been a big debate over, and I think it's a good debate. I don't think it's a negative towards either player. Marvin Harrison and Neighbors, Malik Neighbors, both of them, some teams prefer Neighbors over Harrison. Some teams prefer Harrison over Neighbors. Where do you sit in that debate?
You know, I wouldn't sleep on Odunze either. I mean, I think all these guys, all three of them are really good players, Michael and Stormy. There's really nothing that I think from a technical standpoint that would separate these guys. I mean, they create, they can beat one-on-one coverage. They can get deep. They run excellent routes. They can run an entire route tree. But what separates a true number one in my eyes, and Michael, I know you know all about this, is the run after the catch. I mean, Jerry Rice, the greatest player ever, was a phenomenal receiver, did everything, catch the ball, run routes, can get open, can play inside, can play outside. But the run after the catch was just off the charts. From a betting perspective, you're looking at props, you know, run after the catch, that ability really separates a player. You know, you take a 12-yard hook route and you turn it into 30, right? You take a down and out route or a comeback route on the sideline, 17 yards down the field, and you turn that into 50 or perhaps a touchdown. You know, those type of plays and playmaking ability, I think that's what separates these guys. And I look at Odunze. I mean, I think he's a guy that can separate and certainly do those kind of things. Marvin Harrison, I'm curious about his ability to run after the catch. Neighbors a little bit. Malik, you know, I like his ability as well. But, you know, Rome's just that guy that I think has all those intangibles that can really elevate his game each and every year that he's in the league.
Rome Odunze's draft position prop set at 8.5. No secret, Marvin Harrison Jr., a huge favorite to be the first non-quarterback off the board, followed by Malik Neighbors there at +300. Do you get a sense that we're going to see a lot of wide receivers go in the first round? The prop is set at 6.5. There's been consistent talk about how much talent is in this class. And then you throw in Stephon Diggs leaving the Buffalo Bills, the issues that we're having with Rashee Rice and the Kansas City Chiefs could maybe a couple teams that we didn't expect to get a wide receiver in round one get them. Like, what's your perception of where wide receivers, how many will go in the first round?
Yes, sir, man. I think teams need to be careful about that, because if you need a true number one, go get that number one player. And there's some teams early in the draft that certainly could use a number one wide receiver. And we look at the Chargers, look at the Cardinals, teams like that, right? But if you are looking to get that elite player, you know, and round out your depth, there's something you can do with that as well. I just look at the pipeline at that position, and it is as strong as it's ever been. When I'm talking about youth football, I'm talking about high school football, on through the college ranks. You have a long line of potential NFL wide receivers to choose from, and I think that position is always going to be deep. So I don't want to see teams overreach, but we might see that. You know, we see 11 personnel more than ever. We see nickel defense more than ever on the field too. So we might see some teams reach for those players to find the next Nacua if they can early on, but I think you can find those guys later on in the draft. So I would be careful if I was some of those teams out there.
All right. So let's go to the elephant in the room, the big question. You've had time, obviously, to look at all these quarterbacks. Let's take Caleb Williams out of the equation. Okay. Give me your next three quarterbacks.
You know, Jalen is really good. I like his upside. You know, JJ, it's interesting about him because the experience factor and people are trying to bring that into question. To me, when you don't get experience in the National Football League until you get to the National Football League. And whatever you do in college, you do in college, right? Josh Allen, Joe Montana, I mean, all those guys in college, right? But now look at him, you know, Joe Montana and his career and what that turned into. So I think what a player can turn into is more important. So the upside, I think Jalen has incredible upside. Bo Nix, I'm out on him simply because I think he's an entitled player. I run away from entitled players. I think he's been coddled the majority of his college time, whether it was at Auburn or certainly at Oregon. Michael Penix is interesting, but you worry about the injuries a little bit. But, you know, this is a 100% injury game. At some point, he will get injured. It's recovery and his comeback ability and his availability. Is that something that he can overcome in the National Football League? But Drake May, I'm out on him, Michael, because I don't like his I don't think he's got a strong enough arm. I think he can improvise, and I think he can make some throws. But certainly from a ball placement standpoint and a timing standpoint, I don't know if he has that arm strength that is necessary, especially if you're in New England, if you're looking at somebody like that. So I think he needs some time to develop, and certainly maybe he can enhance his skill set, if you will, if he can, once he gets to the National Football League.
VSiN's Mike Pritchard joining us on the Progressive guest line here on the Lombardi line. But Michael Lombardi, I want to get your reaction to some of what Pritch just said, specifically on Drake May's arm strength and Bo Nix being coddled, because I know a lot of people don't think Bo Nix as a first round pick, but that was an interesting way to term it. And I hadn't heard that before. Michael, what'd you think?
Yeah, I never heard that either. I don't know, coddling. I think to me, he's been managed. He throws a lot of bubble screens. But I do think he's a competitive kid. You know, I do think he's a competitive kid. I've seen May throw the ball. I thought he's got plenty of arm for me. I think one of the things about arm strength is, you know, if you can drive it flat footed, which I think he can without a lot of room in the pocket. So, but we all have concerns about all those guys, maybe different than what Mike has, but we all have concerns. I mean, I think Nix is a second round, a potential starter player. Do I think he'll be a top 10 player at his position? No, but look, you know, if he does what Purdy does for the 49ers, which is get him in the right play, throw the ball on time, and let the receivers run with it after the catch, all of a sudden that looks pretty good. And the word manage doesn't look as harsh as we once thought it was.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Bo Nix, like if he's projected in the first round, like it's one thing for the 49ers to get Purdy at the last pick of the draft, right? And he's surrounded by immense a level of talent. Whereas Bo Nix, if you're talking about him in the first round, you know, those rosters are early in the first round. Maybe those rosters aren't rounded out. You know, when I say coddled, entitled, I think of Drew Lock, right? And I think about the family structure too. And you got to put this guy in the perfect situation in order for this guy to succeed, right? You know, we're not going to come out in the draft because we're going to improve our draft stock. And yet he still went later on in the draft once he came around and was selected to the National Football League. I think Bo Nix and his family, everybody was looking for the perfect situation for that guy. He lucked up. He got to Oregon. It was outstanding. But what he was surrounded with just enhanced his game immensely. And so I run away from entitled players. That's just me, though.
His draft position prop here at Circa.
Devil's advocate, though, Mike. I would say this, devil's advocate. You play in Gussie Malzone's offense. That passing game, you'd run away from that, too. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, I might pull a hamstring running away from that one. Absolutely.
There you go, yeah. You'd be tired of stalk block, and they're like, what's going on here, man?
Right.
Real quickly before we have to hit the break, Pritch, just because we haven't talked to you in a minute, what do you think about your Falcons bringing in Kirk Cousins?
I think that's the story of the offseason, really. They did not want to bring in Lamar Jackson, Stormy, and Michael. I mean, for whatever reason, they passed on Bill Belichick, too. But here comes Kirk Cousins, chains and all. Yeah. That's going to change
everything.
Why
would they want Belichick,
here?
Mike? Why would they want a sick? I mean, I'm told reliably that they thought Belichick was the fourth best coach they interviewed.
Wow.
We'll see.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that?
Well, they know it all down there, I think. Michael Sturm.
Yeah. Obviously they do. I mean, yeah, take Kirk Cousins. You talk about entitlement. I mean, there's the king of entitlement. Give me the money. How about when he said he hopes to retire in Atlanta, Mike? I mean, after I'm done collecting all the Benjamins here, I could go somewhere else too, but I might want to stay.
Right. Son of Bill McCartney, Michael McCartney.
Good to have you back, Mike.
You too. Great to be back with you guys.
Appreciate you, Pritch. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be right back wrapping up hour one. So great to have Pritch back on the program. Follow him on X at MI Pritchard. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use our code VSIN, V-S-I-N. New customers that do, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. The Pelicans, a 1.5-point favorite against the Lakers, and the Warriors favored by 2.5 against the Kings in the two play-in games in the Western Conference coming up today. But we will stick with NFL here to round out hour one of the program, Michael. And there are a number of new prop markets that continue to open up on DraftKings. We saw Circa Sportsbook, where I'm broadcasting from, get out all of their draft props yesterday, and those numbers have been on the move. So it's an exciting time. And with that, I have fired on a couple of bets in the draft, Michael, and so I would like to get your opinion on a couple. You ready?
Love it. I can't wait. Yes, let's go.
So the first one, despite everything that I have said and how anti-JJ McCarthy being a top five quarterback that I am personally, I don't think that he should be drafted there.
You didn't.
But everything that I am hearing is that he will. I knew you were going to laugh. So I bet him under 5.5 for his draft position prop. It's -145 here at Circa. Elsewhere, I saw it juiced higher, -160 plus for him to be a top five. It was -175-ish. So under 5.5 for the draft position, -145 here at Circa. And it's not, again, these props, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't bet them based on your opinion. You have to bet them on the information that you continue to hear. Mm-hmm. And everything I continue to hear is that NFL scouts and coaches are much higher on JJ McCarthy than I am. And I don't see him getting out of the top five the way he's been discussed.
Well, I mean, look, so what have I said all along about the draft? There's certain draft mock drafters you kind of look for teams. And Peter Schrager released his mock draft yesterday on NFL.com, and he had the Giants trading up to the fourth spot to get McCarthy. Now, Arizona wasn't going to pick somebody at four at quarterback, neither are the Chargers going to pick a quarterback. So I don't know why they would have to trade up from six to do that. But that's what he did. And he knows the Giants. His last line in the column was the Giants have been going through the quarterbacks with great diligence. I get that. You know, they love May. I wrote about that 2 weeks ago. So I think 5.5, you're protected there. I really do. If the Giants move a little bit to get there, it really wouldn't matter that much. But I think it'll cost that much because I'm not sure who else would be coming to get him. I think a lot of this is going to really depend on the Falcons' decision of the league office. Did they tamper or didn't they? And if they flip New Orleans, Atlanta, and Minnesota, and Minnesota's at 8, if you're Monty Osendorf, you are ecstatic because it puts Minnesota in a very, really good spot to get to 4.
Yeah, so that was my thought when you said that article had had the Giants trading up that high. You wonder if they're only doing that to try to leapfrog the Minnesota Vikings, who we anticipate trading up to get a quarterback. So, but again, because these teams are so seemingly quarterback needy, that they are willing to reach in this case, and J.J. McCarthy seems to be the guy that everybody's reaching for, I feel like the under 5.5 feels like a good pick. And at that value, that's significantly cheaper than what I've seen at other sports books. That's where I went with. So that was my first bet that I placed. I also bet Michael Penix Jr. under 32.5 at +145. You look at the price for the over 4.5 quarterbacks to be around $2 right now. And all the talk that, I mean, we just talked about it with Mike Pritchard about Bo Nix, in our opinion, not being a first round pick. I think because that fifth quarterback is going to be between Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, in my brain, Penix is the better guy. I know a lot is pending on the medical, but if a team feels like they're going to take a chance on a quarterback in the fifth round outside of those top four that we've been talking about so much, I think that it would be Penix. And so you're getting a plus money price compared to laying $2 for over 4.5.
And I think the Raiders pick at 44. If you're at 44 and Penix is somewhere in the 20s and you like Penix, you got to go get him. He's not making it to 44. And if you wait until the draft is over and everybody has a chance to call the 33rd team in the draft to make offers, you're probably not going to get them. Your best chance to get that guy from 44 is to trade back into the first. And you may have to offer next year's one to do it. And if you're the Raiders and you just signed Davante Adams to another extension and he's committed to your program and you've got this thing going, you got to get a quarterback. And it ain't Gardner Minshew. And it's the perfect situation. Let Minshew play, develop Penix as you go forward. I think to me, the difference between Will Levis and these other guys are, you know, there's probably the team that doesn't get him. The more teams are going to want to get back into the first than I think are going to want to try to get the 33rd pick in the draft. So I think it is. I do think five quarterbacks are the play because there is going to be urgency in those 20s.
Yes. So I think it's at least for me in terms of the numbers, it was a perceived value just based on how I and how I know a lot of scouts and things that I've been reading evaluate the two quarterbacks that would be numbers 5 and 6 in this case between Penix and Bo Nix. So +145 versus laying $2. That's the approach that I took with it. We'll see if it pans out and if Michael Penix Jr. ultimately does go in the first round. We also have, I mean, given that your podcast is called the GM Shuffle, thought that it would be fun to do a little QB shuffle here. Because there are exact order parlays for the order with which these top three quarterbacks are going to go. We all assume that the top three picks in the draft with the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots are going to be quarterbacks. At least on the surface, that's what we think right now. So you can bet that exact order, Williams, Daniels, May, Williams, May, Daniels, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, so on and so forth. Just right now, and we're not going to hold you to this because we're still 9 days away from the draft. Based on what you're hearing and your understanding of these quarterbacks right now, what's the most likely scenario? And then also, what's the best value scenario that you see here as also realistic?
I would say, obviously, that you know the minus money is what everybody believes to be the case. But if you want to take a chance on something, I think you go Williams, Daniels, McCarthy at +400. I think that's the only one. You're saying to yourself that the Patriots are deciding between McCarthy and they're deciding between Drake May. I think that's the only one there that makes sense. McCarthy going 2, I don't see that. I really don't. Again, it's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But I don't see that. I could see May going 2. Because I do think that there's some people that love May, and it's a completely, you know, completely separate class. It's almost like Republicans and Democrats. There's a huge void in between both, right? The ones that like May and the ones that don't. But I think to me, the sound play there is the +400, where you get McCarthy to go to 3. And to me, it's a pizza money play. I think I still think that would be, that pick would be May if it's New England, but I would also think McCarthy's in play.
Yeah, that's a great point. The favorite, the -145, is what we've seen largely throughout this time leading up to the draft of Caleb Williams going 1, Jaden Daniels going 2, Drake May going 3. But I agree with you. If there is another one, I have it highlighted on my sheet here. If there's another one that seems like it could happen, +400 for it to be Williams, Daniels, McCarthy. And it is interesting, Michael, just how varied the opinions are on Drake May and JJ McCarthy. The two of them just seem to be like extremely polarizing perceptions in this year's draft.
No question. And look, there's concerns about Jaden Daniels, you know, because I mean, when he was at Arizona State, he was good. They had some downtime. You know, what offense are you going to run with Jaden Daniels? Can he, you know, he's had two first round receivers, neighbors outstanding, Thomas outstanding on this team. So, you know, he did a lot of good things. Can he stay healthy, his body frame, all that, you know? And then May, you get into May, and basically I think when you're looking at May, you're saying to yourself, can we get this done? The question is, can we get this done? And that's where it comes down to that ugly word of potential. Mm-hmm. Potentials gets coaches fired. It keeps scouts employed. And there lies the difference, right? And so I think you have to be very careful here. And all of them, I mean, look, all of them are a crapshoot. They really are, including McCarthy, including him. So I don't know what the right order is. I just probably know that of these six quarterbacks, if two play well, that's probably going to be what it happens.
Michael, that is quite literally, I imagine, the reason you wrote a column this week saying drafting a quarterback is a risky business, because it is. It's been a risky proposition. And you even quote in the article that excluding this past season, because we still don't know what CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, I mean, Stroud, maybe, yes, we know, but the others, we're not sure what they're going to become yet. Of the 66 quarterbacks that have been drafted since 2000, 56% of them you would call an abject failure. So you don't know what you're going to get in a lot of these cases. But I think it's a great conversation to be had. We'll get into so many more of these new draft props later today and throughout the course of the week. There is one wide receiver specifically who has a position prop I am contemplating betting and want to get your opinion on. But when we come back, we're resetting with hour two of the program, reminding folks what's going on with the NBA right now. Play-in getting underway today.